الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we have reached the ayahs numbers 8, inshallah, from Surah Bani Israel, Surah Al-Isra. And we've discussed about the two corruptions that happened in the time of Bani Israel. Just to give a recap for everyone who wasn't here last time, was that the Quran discusses about the times of where Masjid Al-Aqsa was basically taken away from the Yahud. And there are many different opinions as to what exactly are the two times that Bani Israel lost that area, and what, you know, when were they destroyed or when were they killed? Because many times it happened, and the Quran explicitly describes it as "latufsidunna fil ardi marratayn wa lata'lunna 'uluwan kabira," that they would act very arrogantly and they would cause a lot of corruption in that area, and it's happened again and again. And many prophets have cursed them, like we spoke about beforehand. I spoke about last time that we said Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam cursed them. Musa alayhi salam also had a curse against them. Isa alayhi salam has a curse against them. They were cursed quite often and again and again. And so it led to the Mufassirin to have about six different opinions as to when was the two times that Bani Israel was caused that corruption, right? And so it seems like the most preferable ones were the times were connected, directly connected with the loss of the area of Masjid al-Aqsa. Okay, because again, the surah was starting off with talking about Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to Masjid al-Aqsa. And so this makes more sense to say that that part will be referred to, the part when they lost Masjid al-Aqsa. And there are two places where it happened. When they first lost the first temple, and second, when they lost the second temple. It was after the prophet Jeremiah. And I wanted to just kind of, so that people can understand how, like how exact is what the Quran is saying, right? It's in the book of Jeremiah. It talks about, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Let me just grab it out for you guys. It says that, here it says that in Jeremiah 27, it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Tell this to your masters. With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone I please. Now I will give all your countries into the hands of my servant Nebuchadnezzar, Buchtanassar." We talked about last time. He was the king of Babylon, and he took everything. He goes in there, he destroys the temple completely, and he demolishes the city, right? And it's described like that in the Quran. Fajasu khilal ad-diyar. Jasa in Arabic means athu wa qatalu, is that he demolishes, he terrorizes, and he kills as many as the people as he wants. Goes to every single home and slaughters them. This is what happened to them. And then after that, he banished everyone. All the Bani Israel that were left over, he made them go into different communities, etc., etc., right? This is what happened the first time. He goes and says, "Now I'll give all your countries into the hands of my servant Nebuchadnezzar. I'll make even the wild animals subject to him. All nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes," right? And thereafter, it's really interesting. So in the next one, Jeremiah 28 and Jeremiah 29, it talks about the fact that Bani Israel will return, right? SubhanAllah. So Armiya, the Prophet Armiya, Jeremiah in Arabic is Armiya alayhi salam. Okay, so he said, he told them again, "A time will come after 70 years are completed for Babylon. My promise will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place." This is found in the next ayah. ثُمَّ رَدَدَنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ, right? Then we shall return you to them. Exactly what the Quran says as well. Thereafter, the second time was with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam, actually, he says a lot of things. And I wanted to just, again, I felt like it was just so cool. For me, it felt so cool reading this. And like, this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam telling you verses from the Bible directly. He can't read or write, and he's telling you verbatim what it is, and he's correcting parts that they made mistakes on too, like I talked about last time. So Isa alayhi salam, actually, in Matthew 23, he goes to like all the rabbis. And Isa alayhi salam is hardcore. They don't talk about him. They call him like a prince of peace, whatever. I said, you have to look at the way he talks to them. He says, "Oh, you teachers of the law," the rabbis, "you hypocrites." He called them hypocrites. "Wailakum," he says, "woe to you. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous," right? SubhanAllah, literally what we see today. He's talking about Khabar a long time ago, same exact thing, right? And he goes and says, "You, the children of vipers," SubhanAllah, he's giving la'nat on them, right? Strong. "How you be escaped from being condemned to Jahannam?" Ajeeb, man. He's telling them all their crimes. He says that you will kill and crucify, you will flog and in your own synagogues, and you'll pursue people from town to town. You'll shed righteous blood on the earth.
And he says that how have you killed prophets after prophets, subhanAllah. It's ajeeb the way he discusses this, right? And so again, he's telling them all their sins that they've done. They kill prophets, they murder people, you shedding the blood of prophets, etc., right? And so Isa alayhi salam, at least according to this, Matthew 24, the next one, he tells all of his disciples, I tell you, truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. He says this, right? And the Quran says the same exact thing when the second time happens. So they lost the second temple after that, right? So this is again relating what happened beforehand. The way it described is that liyasu wujuhakum, that all your faces will become disgraced. So now Bani Israel for forever, from that time till the future, will always be disgraced. And wujuh in Arabic can also mean leaders, because leaders were completely separated too. وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدِ, they'll enter the masjid كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, they'll enter the masjid the way they entered the same, the first way. But Nebuchadnezzar, he burned the city to the ground. The Christians that came later, the Romans, I'm sorry, that came later, also burned the city to the ground. They demolished the second temple. Exactly how the Quran described it, right? وَلِيُسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدِ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا. And a complete destruction. Nothing's going to be grown there. Nothing's going to be revived there after that moment. And so this is what Sayyidina Imam Biqa'i rahimahullah, I talked about last time. He went to the rabbis of his time. He brought these verses and said, this is what we think is, this is what the Quran says. Has it occurred in your Bible like so? And these are the two times. And Biqa'i talks to the rabbis. They said, yes, we confirm exactly what's written here is exactly correct. SubhanAllah. Okay, mashallah. The thing is that Asa Rabbukum ayyarhamakum. Allah Ta'ala gives them a very nice thing, and this is where we're going to continue from today. Perhaps your Lord will have mercy on you. Asa Rabbukum ayyarhamakum. Maybe if you straighten yourself out, maybe if you become good doers, maybe you become righteous, perhaps Allah will show rahmah to you. When uttum, and if you return, udana, we will return again. Okay, so the same thing happens. So the books of tafsir talk about that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after giving da'wah to Bani Israel in his own area, they also did the same thing again. They were treated to such luxuries and goodness in this world. They had nice, what do you call it? They had grapevines, and they had date palm trees and so many different things in those areas. But they disrespected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Armiya, the Prophet Armiya alaihi salam, they tried to kill him. Isa alayhi salam, they tried to kill him. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, they tried to kill him. They literally just keep doing the same thing again. When uttum, udana. If you do it again, we're going to do it again, Allah Ta'ala says. And so this will, inshallah, open a door. Later on, we'll discuss, inshallah, how these ayat continue to happen again, even in our time, where we see again, the matter is the same exact thing. The facade is growing, the facade is expanding. I've already explained to everyone, my respected brothers and elders in Islam, these ayat are not in the Torah, these ayat in the Quran. Allah is telling you and I that if we don't fix our matter, when عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا, if you don't fix our matter, Allah will take away Masjid al-Aqsa like He has from our hands, because we haven't done our own islah. If we fix ourselves, Allah will give it back to us, inshallah ta'ala. But the second thing I need you all to know is the bishara. Allah is giving us a reminder here. If they do this stuff again, when عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا, we'll do it again to them again. وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala says that we have made Jahannam for the kafirin a prison. Okay, and I tell you, these ayat, we read this hasr, hasr, Arabic is for, it means something which traps you. It's, you're sealed inside. Ihata, you know, min jami'in nawahi. From all angles, you can't get out from this, right? Jahannam is described like this. What did the Jews believe about Jahannam? Does anyone know? I'm going to show you so that you believe me, okay? They have some ajeeb stuff, okay? So, subhanAllah. My thing is that, mashallah, if we read this together, we'll have, alhamdulillah, like, you know, we'll come into a better understanding. So he goes and says that this was the title of the article. Heaven and hell in Jewish tradition. Jewish sources are conflicted about what happens after we die. Jewish sources are conflicted about what happens after we die. So one rabbi, he describes Jahannam, and he said hellfire is basically that a person will spend a certain amount of term in there, a term in Jahannam. So the Jews, if they have, they call it Gihonim. They said that in hellfire, they spend a little bit of time. And they said roughly about a year or so, you spend in hellfire, and then you get cleansed and purified. And they said, it's not really fire though. It's not fire. It won't be fire. It cannot be fire. They don't believe you have a body in the hereafter. This is a long conversation. I'm not going to go through everything today. I just want you all kind of like food for thought to think about, okay? So they said they don't, it's anguish and remorse and regret. You're just in a jail cell and you're regretting for 12 months basically. And after you finish that 12-month cycle, then you're freed and allowed to come back to the union of God. You get to connect back to God, right? So this ayah is a very ajib ayah when you read it like that. They think Jahannam is a limited time where you escape from a prison and you can go out. Allah described it like a prison, but he called it hasir, because he said there's no escaping this prison. It's ajeeb. So Allah that already talked about Masjid Aqsa with them, now Allah's correcting their aqidah, saying their belief is completely wrong here. Now what should you understand? If you go to Jahannam, you're not going to get out if you're a disbeliever. وَعَتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. It's a disgraceful punishment. So Yahud, subhanAllah, some of them have so become so conflicted about hellfire. I want you to understand this. I was watching a video from a rabbi. I did too much research for this. I'm sharing a little itty bitty bits again, because you gave me Thanksgiving, I give you Thanksgiving all year, inshallah. The rabbi said that we don't believe in hell. He said hell doesn't even exist. It's not even there. Okay, it's not even there. He said Hitler doesn't even go to hell. Ajeeb. Ajeeb. I was like, I was dumbfounded. I sent it to these other ulama. They said Hitler doesn't go to hell. Could you understand if people can't understand what happens in the hereafter? You and I, subhanAllah, because we believe in akhirah, you know, alhamdulillah, everything will be set straight. If in this world is not set straight, and hereafter, Allah is adal, he is justice. He will set everything straight, okay? My wife and my husband and wife not getting along, Allah will set it straight, inshallah. And okay, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, everything will be fine. Everything that happened bad, Allah will take care of. And all the good people who have died unjustly and wrongfully and innocently, inshallah, Allah has prepared for them a beautiful abode, inshallah ta'ala, right? We have such hope in Allah ta'ala. When the Holocaust happened to the Yahud, Allahu Akbar, they could not reconcile. How could God do this to us? And then there's no hereafter for them to look at to say that we can get some fairness, some justice afterwards. So this is what Allah is trying to tell them, that look, He gives them a beautiful rahmah. Asa Rabbukum, perhaps your Lord will have mercy on you. The next ayah tells us the beautiful mercy. Do you all want to know what the mercy is? What is the mercy Allah is inviting them to? Inna hadha al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says very beautifully, it's a da'wah to the Yahud and it's a da'wah to all of mankind. Surely this Quran, it guides to that which is aqwam. The word aqwam, qa'im. What does it mean to be qa'im? A qa'im means a person who stands. Okay, this is the strongest position a person is in. Qa'im is a person who's in the strongest position of their life. When you get older, what happens? The qa'im becomes a little less qa'im. A little bit less qa'im. And now his back is completely bent. Now he looks like he's not qa'im anymore. He looks like ruku'ah. Okay, subhanAllah, when a person is able to stand, mashallah, they're in complete siha and the blessed strength. Aqwam, they translate as like the straightest, the most straight book that you'll find. The Quran is the most straight. It says, you know, if I give you some understandings so you can get it, the Quran is the strongest position that you ever find in life. When a person wants to get guided, if they take the guidance of the Quran, inshallah, they'll be in the strongest position of their life, inshallah. What's another meaning of qa'im? Ahfaz, someone who is the most preserving. Meaning that it will preserve you the most. When I say I'm qaim on something in Arabic, it means I'm going to take care of it. The Quran will preserve the most. It is the most preserved book out of all kitabs. This is number two meaning. So number one is that it is the strongest. It's aqwa. Number two is that it's ahfaz. It's the most preserving. And number three is that it is a ashaddu mura'atan. It is the most considerate of your needs. Now, Bani Israel's religion is a little tough. Okay, Mufti Mushtaq Sahib has purchased a synagogue. Right, and he said that it comes with two kitchens. SubhanAllah, why does it have to come with two kitchens? Because they need one for the meats and one for the dud, right? All the milk products, right? So they had to have two separate kitchens because they can't have them together. SubhanAllah, you and I will go to such difficulty if that were to happen, right? Sometimes we literally put the milk in the curry. SubhanAllah, you know, we would go through such hardship and difficulty and so many different. This is one of many things that they have in their list of things that they cannot do. Okay, and so Allah Ta'ala says, Aqwam, this is the most considerate religion for you. This Quran has the most considerate and most preparing. People look at the Quran like, oh my God, this hukum and ahkam and sharia and all this stuff. I tell you, no, no, no. The Quran, what it gives you is the best. Aqwam, this is the best you're going to get in life. This is the best way and it's the most direct way to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's what we all want. And now the Arabic here is very interesting. Lillati hi aqwam. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati. Quran is a muzakkar word. Muzakkar means masculine. Okay? Allati is mu'annas. It's a feminine word. Allati is mu'annas. So what is it referring to? Right? It has to, you know, you can't put a muzakkar and then put a mu'annas. You can't put masculine and feminine. That's breaking rules, right? Allati should refer to something. And so this is what Allah left open to everyone. Just think about what the Quran is best at. If I were to ask you, what is the Quran best at? Allati, right? What it could be best at? It is the best sharia. Sharia is mu'annas, right? It's a feminine word. It's the best tariqa, which is also a feminine word. It's the best path. Best ahwal, the best of conditions. the best of sunan, the best of sunnas, the best amthal, the best examples in the Quran, the best stories in the Quran. Everything that you think of which are feminine words in Arabic, qasas, amthal, sunan, tariqa, ahwal, shara'ir, everything that you're thinking about, the Quran is the best of it, right? And one of the best things the Quran has is the best at giving you glad tidings. التي هي بشرى للمؤمنين ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات. It gives us lots and lots of glad tidings. So many glad tidings. I'm telling you, mashallah, we talk more about glad tidings than we do about anything else. If you think about how much the Quran talks about Jahannam versus how it talks about Jannah, and you think about how much in our bayans we talk about just goodness, we're all expecting good at the end, right? You all prayed Maghrib Salah. You know, subhanAllah, what you should at least bare minimum, you prayed in Jama'ah, you should expect from Allah 27 times. If you had a good intention and not thinking about girls or something, inshallah, then you'll get higher, inshallah. Allah will give you millions and millions of ajr, inshallah ta'ala. وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ It constantly and again in the present gives glad tidings to the believers who do good deeds and doing good deeds and doing good deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا That they're going to get a massive reward by Allah. And ajr is payment. Allah is calling you an employee. You come on time. This is why the clock is such a fitna for Imam, right? Because it's like, that's his boss. He comes on time. He has to come on time, right? This is difficult for us. Make dua. Allah make it easy for all of us, Ya Rab. But this is what Allah said. You came on time. You deserve ajr. If you did your work, what do you deserve? Right? This is the thing. Allah says you deserve. You and I are abd of Allah. I want everyone to remember. You and I are abd of Allah. We're servants. We're slaves of Allah Ta'ala. A slave in reality deserves nothing from the master. The master wants to give. That's up to him. But Allah said, don't worry, I'll treat you like employees. So he tells the malaika at the end of Ramadan. He says, what is the jaza? What is the ajr for the people that have fasted the entire month of Ramadan? You know, what should they earn? The malaika said, ya Allah, if they did the work, they deserve their payment. If they did the work, they deserve their ajr and payment. Allah says, then I make you witness, O malaika, they fasted the 30 days of Ramadan, I forgive all their sins. This is Allah telling us ajr and kabira. The Yahud don't think like this. The Jews don't think like this. They say that there is no hereafter for them. So then I looked at another rabbi. So I said, because there's ikhtilaf. I told you there's ikhtilaf about the hereafter. So I said, okay, what other ikhtilaf could they have? Hanafi, Shafi'i, Malik. What is it? So another rabbi said, no, there's no hell. But there is a Jannah. There's like a heaven. And what is the heaven? There's no heaven that you're thinking about, like super souped up Mercedes and Hurun Ayn and Hurun Ghain and whatever you're thinking of, right? There's none of those things. What is their heaven? You just have union with God. You're connected to Allah or God, right? That's what you're just connected to Him. They say, ask them how? I have no idea how. And some of them said, there is no hereafter. All you're doing is working here. This is your heaven here. Why do you think they work so hard to get luxury here? This ikhtilaf is shadeed. Okay, this is ikhtilaf shadeed. But look at this, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala says, look, you get ajar and kabira. So I want everyone to think, mashallah, you know, subhanAllah, from the amal that you do in this life, inshallah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will give you such beautiful places in Jannah. The lowest level in Jannah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is 10 times this world. 10 times this dunya. You know, I want to own China. I do. Allah ta'ala said, subhanAllah, if you work hard and you strive, ajran kabira, the lowest level is going to be like this. Sayyidina Musa Islam asked Allah ta'ala, this is Sayyidina Musa Islam. Say, Allah, what do people get if they enter Jannah, the lowest level? And Allah ta'ala said, O Nabi Musa, they get 10 times this dunya. Bare minimum, subhanAllah. People are striving to just get a house in Burlington, Allahu Akbar. Allah ta'ala promised you 10 times, subhanAllah, just leave this world. Get the ajr kabir, massive, massive reward. Allah said kabir, you don't understand how kabir it really is. Right? Then Musa Islam said, Allah, if that's the adana, فَمَا هُوَ الْأَعْلَى What is the highest position? So Allah Ta'ala told Musa Islam, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ He said, look, Allah Ta'ala said, no eye has seen it. No ear has heard it. It has even occurred on the heart of a human being. You don't even know. Aren't you excited? SubhanAllah, I remind myself of the dua of Asiya, because the Jewish rabbi, may Allah guide him, he said something which was very deep to me, is that you have a deep connection in the hereafter with Allah. And that Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, said, Rabbi ibni li indaka baytan fil Jannah. She said, Allah, make for me a house next to you in Jannah. You know, subhanAllah, people are thinking about dunya, and I get it, trust me. The Mercedes, I would love to have this golden Mercedes in Jannah. I would love to have Hurun Ayn, millions of them, inshallah ta'ala. You know, we want, we crave, we desire. Allah said, no problem, ajr and kabir is there. But think about the higher levels. Think about what you can get. You could be a neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the man who is the most beautiful of all human beings, subhanAllah. They say that Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, oh, woman of Zulaykha, you cut your hands from seeing Yusuf alayhi salam. Inna kunni qata'tunna aydiyakun. You cut your hands because you saw Yusuf alayhi salam. If you saw Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would have cut your hearts out. And this is the people, this is the greatest of rahmah Allah has sent for this world, mashallah. Imagine the Khaliqul Jannah. Imagine the creator of Jannah. Ajr Kabir. And I tell people this, subhanAllah, I tell you when you pray salah, you aiming for small things. We small time people, wallahi. We think about small little things. Oh Allah, please just make sure my bank account, alhamdulillah, make sure the bills are paid, ya Allah. These small little things. I'm telling you, Ajr Kabir is huge by Allah Ta'ala. Wa anna alladhina la yu'minuna bil akhirah. And those who don't believe in the hereafter. Who don't believe in the hereafter properly? Yeah, ajib, how the Quran responds. We prepare for them a very long, painful punishment. The worst punishment is the one you're not expecting. When you come into his class, and the teacher's just angry at you. And you're wondering, what did I do wrong? The whole time you're wondering, what did I do wrong? Now imagine on the hereafter, they didn't expect themselves to go to the hereafter. They didn't expect Qiyamah to happen. And so they come to Qiyamah, and they say, they look at all this stuff, and now they have a punishment waiting for them. Are you joking? This is the worst type of punishment. عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. This is what's going to happen to them. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانِ. Allah Ta'ala continues. He says, now, I want to make a very general statement for everyone. Allah Ta'ala takes it back, and now He gives us this bishara. He tells about the Qur'an, how great it is. And He says, mankind, ask from the Qur'an. Ask Allah to the Qur'an. Do all these things. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانِ بِالشَّرِ. Mankind makes dua for the worst. Du'ahu, like he makes dua for the good things. What is Allah referring to? Number one, the ulama say, that a person, they make such bad dua against themselves. They make such qabih dua against themselves. Some people, subhanAllah, they'll curse their own children. They'll curse their own car. They'll curse their own house. They make la'nat against themselves. Right? They'll say such terrible things. And sometimes, subhanAllah, you see the way parents act. The way they're so angry at their kids. I wonder, subhanAllah, is this a shaitan you gave birth to or something? Like, why are you getting so mad at him? Relax, you know, subhanAllah, calm down. Because sometimes our anger is so serious, Allah Ta'ala hears the dua at that moment. Yad'ul insan, the way he makes dua for good things, he wants happiness and success. We make dua, bad dua. Also, isitara, we make the same dua for the people, for the bad things that happen in our life. This is one thing that happens, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala protect us from this, okay? It's not referring to general things that happen on our tongue. We said, like, dang it. Oh man, you know, son of us, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, like mashallah, like, you know, subhanAllah, you we say things on our tongue that comes like naturally because of the language, that's forgiven, that's ma'fu'an, because that's things that just happen because of the dialect or the language we speak, right? You know, like for example, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you say like sakilatka ummuk, may your mother cry over the fact you died, you know, may your mother be bereaved over you. It's just an expression they use, right? We say like, damn you, man. God damn it, you know, subhanAllah. Same exact thing. These are things that happen on the tongue. I will remind everyone of dua of Rasulullah SAW. It's a beautiful dua. Rasulullah SAW used to make this dua regularly. He said, Ya Allah, innama ana bashar. He said, Allah, I'm a human being. Fa'ayyama mu'minin aadaytuhu aw la'antuhu aw jalattuhu aw shatamtuhu faj'al halahu salatan wa zakatan qurbatan tuqarribu biha indaka yawm al-qiyamah. This dua of Rasulullah SAW said, Oh Allah, I'm only a human being. So any person I cursed, any person I slandered, or any spoke bad of, I'm sorry, or any person I hurt, or any person I abused, Allah, make that a means of getting close to you, Allah. The Rasulullah is making smart dua, amazing, beautiful dua. We need to make this dua. Because we curse a lot of people, subhanAllah. You never know, subhanAllah, if you made this dua, Allah, I made such bad dua against my own son. Ya Rabbal Alameen, make this a means of guidance for me, Allah. And then he can get close to you on the day of judgment. Make this dua regularly. What's another thing that we do? وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. We sometimes, in the place of making good du'as, we make bad du'as, right? Meaning not good enough du'as. In the place they were supposed to make great du'as, we make lower du'as, okay? So people ask like, Allah, if you want Allah, I know this is what these kids, they're so humble, subhanAllah, humbly kids, right? We have such humbly kids here, right? Not Hanafi, just humbly, right? They raise their hands in du'a, and they say, Allah, if you want, you can put me in Jannah. Allah, if you want, I can get a low place in Jannah. Allah, I'm not really trying too hard, Allah. Please, you know, just something, whatever, you can just squeeze me in there, Allah. What are you making, like, such weird du'as? Like, it's one, and the same thing, like, you think that's bad? Some people only go to Hajj just to fix their dunya. They only went for Hajj for fixing the... وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. All they ask is just to fix their dunya. Listen, I want to remind everyone, how long do you live in dunya for? 60, 70, 80, maybe 100, mashallah, if you're lucky, Allahu Akbar. But then what? You're going to spend hundreds and hundreds of years in your qabr. Hundreds and hundreds of years in your qabr. Thousands of years will go on qiyamah. Millions of years will go in Jannah. Or millions of years may go in Jahannam. May Allah protect us from that. You have a lot more to make dua for. Make the dua the same way. Allah says, you make such a good dua when you want to ask from your dunya. You start crying when the bank, you know, the money is not coming in. Are you making dua because your children are not listening? Are you making dua because the wife, brothers and elders in Islam? This is temporary stuff. In the qabr, you have literally, in this world, things will change. Will things change in the qabr? They remain the same. For millions of years, you might stay. Allah knows how long it will be in there for you and for me. And then what happens in that moment? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. You only bring one thing with you in your amal. You know, I thought about what a person can bring, right? I thought about what a person can bring. One sultan, he wrote a letter to his son. He said, oh, my son, after I die, because he was near time of death, he said, try to make sure that at least I can have my sandals on when I'm going to be put in the grave. Make sure I have my sandals on when I get put in the grave. He said, go ask Shaykh al-Islam of the time if I can have my sandals on when I get put in the qabr. Okay, so then the son, he's like, my father passed away. He's like, okay, so he goes to Shaykh al-Islam. He says, Shaykh, my father asked if he can have his sandals on when he goes inside the qabr. He said, absolutely not. Your coffin, your coffin, sandals is a part of it? No, there's no part of you. You go with the coffin, no sandals, nothing. And then, the man, the sultan was buried like that without any sandals. And then the son was instructed in the letter that once he finishes the first part, he should read the second part, right? So he left him two letters. The first letter he said, read, and once you finish that, read the second one. And then he opens it and he says, oh son, the Shaykh al-Islam of our time would never even allow me to bring my sandals into my qabr. I don't bring anything with me in the grave. It's a reminder to everyone that you can't even bring your chappal with you in your grave. And people are thinking they're going to bring the whole house in there. May Allah forgive us. Make strong dua and say, wa kana al-insanu ajula. We rush everything, subhanAllah. People are going through difficulty, and I'm telling you, may Allah make it easy on all of us. But the difficulty that people receive here will reward in such great things thereafter. You know, subhanAllah, some kid, he gave talaq to this girl, Rebecca, he liked so much, subhanAllah. He loved her so much. He said, you know, triple talaq to her. He said, forget it, I don't want her anyway. He broke his heart. He broke in kasarat al qalb, right? In kasar al qalb, the heart was broken because he abandoned the haram. But he abandoned li ajlillahi ta'ala. He abandoned for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One kid, subhanAllah, he said, he had a part-time job. He said it was interfering with his Jummah. So he was making good money from there, but he said it interferes with my Jummah. So he said, look, I can't have this job anymore, subhanAllah. So he left the job. I said, don't worry, from Allah you'll get something better, inshallah. Allah never lets it down. Allah never lets you down. We go through these hardships, and I'm telling you, something great will happen, inshallah, at the end. And this is the beauty of it. Wa kana al-insanu ajula. Every human being rushes. Now I ask you all again, which community in the world makes baddua against themselves, makes dua against themselves more than anyone else? Who are we talking about here again? The Jews. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us such a reminder. I never met a people that hated themselves more than the Jews. Have you met anyone who hated themselves as much as the Jews do? They literally think they are people who are chosen by God, but also cursed by God at the same time. And they're so cursed, they say that our forefathers are cursed, we're also being cursed too. The whole time we're being cursed. This da'iman, nula'anu, the whole time we're being cursed by God, right? This whole time that we're here. You know, even the fact that, look, you know how cursed these people are? May Allah make us understand this, but like, they don't, they're what is their title? They're called Jews, right? They're Jewish people, they're Jew people, right? They're Jews. Even calling someone a Jew is like anti-Semitic. You know, like it's weird that even the title that you give them, they can't even take that title anymore. That title has become a la'na for them too. Ajib people, Allah is telling them, stop making dua against yourself. My final thing, inshallah, that I want everyone to think about is that Allah says, right after this, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ. Allah says, He's made the night and the day beautiful signs, two beautiful signs. Okay, and we'll finish on this point. It's beautiful. Allah is telling us something very deep about the Quran and something very deep about the Torah. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ. I can't cover this whole ayah. It has a moon sighting part in here that we're not going to do today. Maybe next week, inshallah. وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبَصِّرَةً لِتَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. Allah says, we made the night and day beautiful, amazing signs. Okay, that someone is turning everything. Someone is making something cover another one. But in this ayah, Allah doesn't really talk about the night too much. Allah says, we removed the sign of the night. And we made the sign of the day. Mubasira, as a way of seeing. Right? So now let's think about this. What is Allah telling us here? Allah said, we erased one sign, we replaced an amazing, extraordinary sign on top of it. Okay? What is Allah saying about the Quran and the Torah? The Torah was a wonderful book. It was an amazing book. It was an extraordinary kitab. It was. فَمَحَوْنَا, but we erased it. It's gone now. It's finished, right? The time of it is over. Now the time of the day comes, which is the Quran. This is not only in this place in the Quran. Many places in the Quran, Allah describes the Quran like a sun. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَالِ الْكُنَّسِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسَ right? كَلَّا وَالْقَمَرِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا أَدْبَرَ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا أَسْفَرَ. Many places in the Quran, Allah talks about different anbiya who come, like stars and the moon. And all their time goes away, and finally what comes at the end? The beautiful sun. When the sun comes out, what happens to all the stars? They're gone. The anbiya alayhimus salam had amazing sharia's and religions and deens. But once the sun comes, what happens? The siraj of Nabi Muhammad ﷺ comes, and now all the lights go out. Allah Ta'ala says, we have replaced the time of the Torah. We've given the time of the Quran. وَجَعَلْنَاهَا مُبَصِرَةً لِتَبْتَغُوا. So you could desire, فَضْلًا مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Get the fazl from Allah. Get the grace from Allah Ta'ala. And so that you may know the time, and you may know calculation, hisab. And we'll talk about that next time, inshallah. So I want everyone, inshallah, to make this niyyah, inshallah. I talked about the Quran so much, but I feel a pain in my heart that this Quran is there, but we're not reading it. One kid, subhanAllah, he told me, he's like, ever since we had an i'tikaf here, it was about a month ago. We had a kid, that young kid, subhanAllah, I think he's like 10. He said, we had i'tikaf. He said, ever since that day, I never stopped reading Surah Al-Mulk. He said, you taught us to read Surah Al-Mulk, and now from that day, I've continued to read it. I said, may Allah make this for years and years for you, my brother. You know, and this is what we want, that people don't miss your amal of Surah Al-Mulk. Qabr is a long time. Allahu Akbar. You know, my grandmother, my grandfather in the Qabr for so long. And I think about, subhanAllah, there's nothing else that can help them at this moment except the good deeds that they did while they were alive. My brothers in Islam, the Azab al-Qabr will be protected and prevented by Surah Al-Mulk, inshallah. Don't miss that amal. May Allah grant us that, inshallah. Small little thing I'm asking for, a couple of minutes. May Allah give us that tawfiq to recite the surah regularly, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. Does anyone have any questions, inshallah?
The question?
Yeah.
The Jews, they have all, I know you said that, they have all kinds of, some they believe, if you are a Jew, you kill somebody, you go to heaven. They have different madhab, like we have Sunni Shia. They have hundreds of groups, the extremists,
yeah,
and all kind of things. Yeah. They just, some they said there's heaven, some they said no heaven.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, one thing interesting about, so the different groups of the Yahud about the hereafter, right? One thing is that no matter what different groups you get of Muslims, we understand there's a Jannah and a Jahannam, you know? Like, there's an Akhirah for us. Qiyamah is there and everything, right? So no matter how much of a different group you get, even Shia or any other groups like Khawarij, etc., etc., there is a hereafter you have to go to. Yahud are the only ones that have such ikhtilaf about what's going to happen after they die. And this is crazy because you would think that if you have a religion, you should know about the hereafter. There's at least bare minimum. But the fact that they have so much ikhtilaf is just unbelievable, right? If you go to this rabbi here, there's a reason why she likes us so much. Trust me, man. Because we're going to heaven according to her religion too, right? Or we all just go on the ground, we just stay there forever. It's one or the other. I'm okay with either one, okay? Some of the Jews, I'll tell you, you know, you mentioned this, right? Tanasukh. Some of them believe in reincarnation. You know, like our Hinduism from our communities has come even to these people, subhanAllah. And they said that, yeah, you can get reborn and come back again and try again. You know, just, you know, when you die in like GTA, right? Just respawn at the hospital, come back again, do it again, right? SubhanAllah. Allah, Amara Sapu, Madhuga, Atafama, Ya Rab. May Allah forgive all of us. And we ask for Hidayah for them. I mention these things because I don't want Muslims to fall into their traps. We end up doing the same thing they do. And may Allah forgive us, inshallah. JazakAllah khairan for the question. Any other question?
They have a stone in, like we stone.
Yeah,
yeah. And Wafasahum Bainahum Shadeed, the Quran is very clear. They have different, I mean, some, the rabbi can be a woman, had to be a man, but they change it, you know. And they have a stone. I was watching CNN with Larry King, and the rabbi said, we have a stone, Islam has a stone, and then Christianity has.
Yeah.
So they deny it, they don't talk about it.
No.
So what happened? So you have to read all kind of things, but all kind of, and some of them, they don't believe in, like some Shia in Lebanon, they just, like Sunni, they're Shia, but they not, don't believe it with them. Shia, they you know, believe. So they have different, like, we you know, moderate Sunni, different than the real Shia, you know. So they have what kind of...
Different types of groups, yeah. I try to listen to, at least when I talk about Jews, I try to go to the Orthodox ones, and, like, the ones that are closest to conservatism, right? The ones that have, like, the... So in Brooklyn, do you guys know in, like, Brooklyn and everything, like, they have, like, the proper Jews?
Mm-hmm.
They have the dangly guys, right? Our beloved guys, right? and then the beards and everything like that. They have a whole community there. It's a huge qom there. So those are the ones that, like, if you try to talk about, we should talk about them, right? They're actually very ajib when it comes to their understanding of Israel too. They don't believe that they should have that country, right? That country doesn't. That's why they're still here, right? They don't think, consider it. They say that no, it's the Palestinian land. God has not promised us. He said you're exiled and banished from there. All these different things, right? So there's a lot of huge history here. I don't want to get into too much because again, you're gonna end up thinking a lot of stuff, and then we're gonna get to Dajjal somewhere in here, and then it's not gonna end up good. We ask Allah, Ya Rabb, guide us, Ya Rabb. Grant us the meaning of the Quran, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah.
Well.